And that was Kelly Clarkson finishing off this week's Dutch Discs with What Doesn't Kill You Makes You Stronger, which I think is an apt description for many a Stoke fan over the last 3 years. But I think we're on the way back. Don't you, Ange?
No comment.
Here we go. Sunday Sports Show.
The goal that took Stoke City back to Wembley for the first time in 20 years. Young Paul Ware crashing at home from the free kick.
Ricardo Ware scored the score! And Stoke City with 10 men are ahead! And that's it, a superb strike by Hoekstra. He's hit it first time and he's hit it absolutely brilliantly.
And once again, Arsenal have been undone by a Stoke contract.
This is always the lap. For me, always meant to not different.
Good evening, everybody. And tonight's quiz question is, was that a point that is the turning point of our season, or is everybody deluded because we're cheering 1 point at Brentford and thinking that is wonderful? For those of you that don't think we've fallen such a long way from grace in the last couple of seasons, it wasn't one of the best performances I've ever witnessed, but we kept a clean sheet. We got a point. We could have won it if Etebo, who actually made the opening himself by tremendous graft and hard work, could have put the ball away. But equally, we almost lost it with virtually the last kick of the match when a ball went flying across our area. Bonuses for me, we didn't look like conceding from corners, crosses. The defence looked a lot more solid. I thought James McLean had a better game. Gregory, for the fact he's never going to score up front on his own, as far as I'm concerned, but my God, he puts a shift in. Paul Ince seemed to disappear a little bit again. Some of you will say, what's new with that? Paul Ince disappeared a long time ago. Tyrese Campbell came on for a few minutes, and I'd be interested to see what people make of him coming on for a few minutes at the end. I can understand why we only went with one up front, but the next two matches, Crawley away in the Cup, which we'll talk about, and the big game on Friday on Sky TV against Notts Forest will be very important. Luckily, West Brom, boing boing, did us a favour today when at one point they looked like they weren't going to, but they beat Huddersfield, and you've got to say it's guaranteed to be 0-0 when Stoke play Huddersfield, because they're both conceding like mad at the moment. They're both on minus 10, and you just know it's going to be a ball draw.
It better not be.
Enough from me. I'll hand you over to Russell, who's going to explain what a busy weekend he's had and everything he wants to talk about. Good evening, Russ.
It has been a busy weekend, hasn't it, Ange?
Yes.
I've seen more games of football this weekend, I think, than I ever have, but that's obviously for other reasons. But we've got loads of people commenting on Facebook already. I must say, Ange, I did think I had to say 3-1 last week in a positive mood, and I did so on Saturday morning, but deep down somewhere I was expecting a defeat, even though I was trying to be positive. So I suppose that you've got to look at that as a positive, because Ted was saying, I think, to me this week, that up at the under-23s, I think it was, that he'd actually seen Stoke win at Brentford 4-0, I think, and I could hardly remember that game, let alone being the last time I went to Brentford. Dean Oldsworth was playing for Brentford. That's a long time ago, Ange. And we lost, of course. So yeah, so I, you know, it's positive. I think the most positive thing for me is not the social media reaction that's going on at the moment, is what's happening at the stadium. I don't think I've ever had a reaction to a Stoke tweet like the one I did yesterday about if this guy can just get it going, he's going to be one of the most popular managers we've ever had. And I think I do genuinely believe that, Ange. I think he knows he's extremely fortunate, I think, to have a set of supporters like he's got at the moment. And I think he was genuinely moved by seeing the video footage that we've seen yesterday. He was genuinely moved by the reaction he got at the end. And as long as the fans are still with him, and they clearly still are, especially the travelling support, then he's got to have time to turn it round. And there's something, like I say, Ange, I've been critical of him, and we can all be critical of him, because I think he has made some fundamental mistakes. I think the left back issue is a fundamental mistake, Ange. I've said it over and over again. Nobody's going to change my mind on that. I think he's made some mistakes in relation to his substitutions, but he's got nothing out of common with any of the other managers we've had over the last 3 or 4 years by doing that. But I do also think that I don't think we've had a manager who's had the rapport with the supporters like this for a long, long time. If this is with a record like he's got, which is, you've got to use the word abysmal, haven't you, Ange? You've got to use the word abysmal for since he's come here. The record is abysmal. The win ratio is abysmal. But there's something deep down inside me telling me, don't call for this guy to be sacked. And ask me to explain, ask the people at home, ask me to explain why I'm feeling like this. I don't know. But there's something deep down there that's saying, don't sack this guy. Eventually he'll be a success at Stoke City. And I'm just hoping it happens sooner rather than later.
Are you aware that some of our supporters will be saying, well, look at it on the other side of the coin, Russell. We've become so inured with being rubbish that a 0-0 draw at Brentford is acceptable and looked upon as a great result.
That's very true. There's no doubt about it, Ange. And it has been that bad, Ange. There's no doubt, is it? You're quite right what you say in that regard. These are games we should have been, even 18 months ago, we'd have been looking at winning quite comfortably. But we're not. We're not there at the moment. We were sitting at the bottom of the table. Nathan's adamant that the reality of the situation is that if we'd got the points we deserved, we'd have been, mid-table at least. But you can only say that for so long, can't you, Ange? I think the time for action is now. I think it's a critical week, really. I think he needs to get through this cup tie on Tuesday. That'll almost guarantee a big tie in the next round against somebody, if we're lucky. And no doubt our players will rise to that occasion, because they probably think some of them they should still be playing at that level. And obviously Friday night is even more crucial, because there's a game that, are we away at Huddersfield following week?
Because no,
we're home, we're on Tuesday,
yeah.
Is it, Ange? So these are two crucial games coming up here. They really are. And I'd like to think, I'm sounding like Adam Hindhall now, aren't I? I'd like to think that 6 points are there if we can get them. And the Forest at home last year were pretty poor against us. Huddersfield, as we know, were in the same sort of malaise that we're in, or we have been in. I think they've got managerial issues. They've been getting rid of their highest earning players out of the club as fast as they could get rid of them. They really aren't set up, I don't think, for the Championship either. So, there's got to be a chance there for a couple of wins, in my opinion.
Well, if we go back to yesterday, as I say, I can understand why he played a lone striker in one way, because it was obviously one of those matches that we mustn't lose. But let's go on to our first mail, and this is from Dave Payden in Australia. My thoughts on yesterday. Well, yesterday was a very clear sign of how we've fallen from thinking we'd be a playoff or promotion chance to being a side that sets up to get a point away from home in the hope to snatch one to hopefully get us 3 points. We maybe didn't look like conceding yesterday, but we didn't look like ever scoring either. I'm glad Jones and the management have recognised we're in a relegation scrap, and until we can get out, we probably need to play like that. But it doesn't mean I have to like it or enjoy it. I'm baffled to know why he's not starting Hogan and Gregory. Still looks like he's trying to fit favourites in, and I'm not even sure why Hogan's out of the side after scoring 2, and then he's dropped and he's never been back in. I like Gregory, but he's so isolated at the moment, he doesn't look like scoring, and that's a worry for me. Still no win. I'm not sure how far we have come since Jones' first game against Brentford, but I guess it's a more positive result than that day. Still, so much to do just to get out of the bottom three, but a positive point, but not an exciting performance. And obviously somebody already wants to talk to you, Russell, about that. So, yeah.
Yes, that's true, but we're unable to take the call. Shall I carry on, Ange?
Yes, why not?
I shall just say, on Facebook, Daniel Stevenson says, hi guys. Martin Eagle says, hi. Matt Bolton says, evening Russ, Ange, decent defensive display yesterday. Ted McCoy says, the Stoke ladies were brilliant today. Neil Price says, well done Stoke ladies today, a 4-1 win. Nice to see Russ today, I walked past and shook your hand. Ian from Scholar Green says, getting better, the midfield looks settled. Just need a striker who will score, as I'm afraid Gregory won't score enough. Daniel Stevenson says, a great performance for the ladies today. Neil Price says, good point away, got to start somewhere, I guess. Stuart Law says, watching from Lanzarote, nearly had a good start for the holiday. Feel they must win Tuesday night, or the manager is out. Ted says, Gregory needs help up front, so he agrees with you there, Ange. Jenny Cavani says, good evening from Bulgaria.
Hiya.
Happy with the point, not happy with the game really, hope it gets better. Scott Price says, went yesterday, it was a better performance than last season's trip to Griffin Park. It's a small step, got a point, could have won with the Tebow, we're now off the bottom of the table. I would drop in and go two up top, says Steve Breeze. Lee Stokey says, win at all costs on Friday and surely he has to go. Stuart Faulkner says, could we try two up top in the cup? Stuart Faulkner also says, and play the same 11 for the next two games. Duncan Ridgway says, another woeful performance, just not good enough for professional footballers.
I just wonder why people think that, you know, just basically we're just going to get rid of the manager because of two not brilliant performances. I find it, when I say not brilliant performances, I mean, how on earth do people think at this time of year a management team and owners who have not in the past reacted quickly, apart from the last getting rid of a manager, are all of a sudden now going to wave a magic wand and put somebody else in charge at this time of year? When you bear in mind those people have at this moment also got to work with the players that they've got, that if we get rid of Nathan Jones, it'll be him and three others that will probably go. And I don't know how long the bottomless pit of money will continue to be happening at the Bet365. You look at the financial fair play rules coming in, you look at the money we've spent and the money we haven't recouped, you look at the players we've still got who we couldn't get rid of, like Mamdouf and Julian Ngoi, they all need paying, and I can understand to a certain extent why the owners are not reacting as quickly as everybody thinks they should. And I'll just cite an example of something that happened yesterday, and it could happen to any club at any time. Manchester City scored 8 goals against Watford. Why am I citing that? Watford dispatched a manager not too long ago that they didn't think was good enough for their team. And all of a sudden, that manager who we wanted is now back at the helm and hasn't set the house on fire. Huddersfield have taken the Cowley brothers. They've not had the bounce yet that they would hope for. So I think a lot of people are talking about Chris Hughton coming to Stoke, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong. What I am saying, and what I do genuinely believe, is that Stoke is a far less attractive position to take than it was 12 months ago. And
I still think it's attractive enough to him, though. And,
well, I don't.
I hope it's not offered.
I don't. Because if he turned down Huddersfield, who were, Huddersfield had just come out of the Premier League. If he turned them down, are you really going to look at a team? I don't care how important we think we are in the scheme of things. You've got to look at a team and you've got to either be desperate to get back into a job, or you've got to think you've got a chance of doing something with that team.
I don't know, you know, Ange, because we spent 10 years in the Premier League and looked pretty solid in the Premier League.
You cannot live.
Hang on. and finished most of those years actually solidly in the league. Huddersfield were sort of like up one season, scrambling like hell to stay up, and then straight down out of sight the following season. So, I mean, I'm speaking to everyone I can possibly speak to, Ange, to try and get some idea of why we're not doing what we should be doing. But nobody seems to have the answers, Ange. So I don't know. Apart from something completely we're unaware of that's affecting anything. Nobody's got any answers. So, like you say, whether changing the managers can change the system, change the tune, change whatever, I don't know. Like I say, my gut reaction is just telling me at the moment not to sack this man. But that's, I don't know whether that's based purely on the fact that I like him, you know, and I actually think he's a decent fella, or whether it's that I think he's gonna do the business in the long term. I honestly, Ange. I mean, you're as flummoxed, I think, as most of us in relation to what actually is the matter.
Well, yesterday, I'll give you an example of things that happened. Everybody that I spoke to at Brentford, from Brentford, looked at our squad and couldn't understand why we were bottom of the league. Then along comes a certain man from TalkSport, Ian Abrahams, who sits down with several of us and says, "I just don't know why you bought Lee Gregory." And we all look at him and then we say, "Why?" And he says, "Well, you've got enough goal scorers in your team." And we all look at each other, and somebody asked him when he'd last seen Stoke play. But the perception that the outsiders have of our football club is very different than the reality. If you look at the goal scorers, we haven't had a really great goal scorer, including Peter Crouch, who scored many goals for us. But we haven't had a lethal duo for a long, long time.
Well, there's another mystery, isn't it? There's plenty of mysteries. Which is why, you know, has he completely gone away from Hogan and Gregory, or is he just so worried about conceding goals, and he just thinks that he's got to stop that happening?
Well, I think at this moment in time, he's more concerned about shoring us up and getting us some confidence. But let's have a look at what's been said on the oatcake. Potter Paul says, "Oh well, we nil-nilled our way to the 16th last season. It's not going to be enough this time round, though, is it? After all, we haven't got Rout's effort to help us. It's all deja vu from when he took over in January, uses the diamond for a few games, abandons the diamond, chops and changes team and formation to see what's best, goes all Lambert-like and produces a style that is clean-sheetish but extremely goal-shy. Simply has to go, no way about it," says Potter Paul. Crouch Potato 1 says, "Evening to you both. Yesterday was a very poor game, mainly because our manager set out not to concede. We never ever looked like scoring, and this from a manager that promised free-flowing, attacking football from young, enthusiastic players. I guess he had to stop the rot, but his comment about I haven't been able to pick my strongest team until last week is quite frankly bizarre. He's had three players that he signed in the starting 11 in the last two games, which doesn't say a lot for his signings. He's becoming a walking contradiction with his comments on a weekly basis. The longer this situation goes, the less chance we have, in my opinion, of getting out of it, because 22 points out of 84 tells me we're only heading one way under Nathan Jones. Potter's Pele says, "Evening, folks. Looking forward to tonight's show. Well, it's fair to say that we badly needed a result, so at least we didn't lose. That was the only real positive from the afternoon, though. Actually, credit where it's due. I thought the defence was collectively good, apart from the left side again, surrendering 3 to 4 crossing opportunities. That formation needs chucking as soon as possible, though. Jones has only really lasted as long as he has because the majority of fans, and I dare say the board, have been willing to cut him some slack over the awful results because we've created chances in most games. In reality, we're bottom of the league thanks to some very poor finishing and some calamitous goalkeeping and defending. Whatever patience remains, though, will quickly disappear if his solution is to grind out results with a lone striker. It was like time travelling back to Pulis ball, Lambert ball, Rowett ball all over again, and I'm sure 90% of the fans had had enough of that tripe by now. Looking ahead at the fixtures, you have to say that Crawley now looks like an unwelcome distraction, particularly for Jones, given the importance of the next home fixture. A bad result against Forest, and I suspect you'll see a turning point with the home crowd, which may well spell the end of another manager. And with the frailties of our left side, I don't fancy our chances with the creative Joe Lolly running at McLean." So, whilst we just think about some of those messages, how many of you listening tonight think that the match at Crawley is an unwelcome distraction? What do you think, Russ?
Not at all.
Why?
Because it's a great chance to get through and get into, what is it, what would that be then? It's the fourth round, would it be?
Fourth.
You know, it's a great chance to get through and get some confidence going. I mean, could we possibly score three goals in a match on Tuesday?
Well, my take on it is that I think he'll make several changes because he needs to. I think
there's plenty of players.
I think we have enough players to win that match, and I agree with you that it's really important for confidence.
Well, it is, and you know, let's hope they bang a few goals in while they're doing it as well. I mean, obviously, if they lose, it's a disaster.
And now we go back to another positive after that disastrous comment. Suffolk Stokey says, how refreshing to go to a ground and be allowed into some very nice pubs, one on every corner of ground for those who have never been, with home and away fans mixing. It's a nice ground, shame they're moving, but I suppose it's called progress. Oh, the game, we were dreadful. He's regressed and is mirroring last season by ditching his beliefs and now playing turgid negative football but with his own players, while some of them, most, don't even get a game. And can I just say that Brentford, to me, is a nice club. They're community-minded. They had a couple of kids reading out the teams before the teams went on the pitch, which was nice. They had a couple handing the match ball over. It's just a really nice community club. However, the ground is pretty old and past it, and whilst the four pubs are lovely, I think it's great to that it's going. And I'm sure the people that live right behind it will think so. Warden 43 says, what did I learn from yesterday's match? If we play with the spirit that was shown in the second half, we might escape a relegation battle. Lee Gregory worked his socks off, but without a strike partner, it's all for nothing. Liam Lindsay's contractually forbidden to pass the ball to a Stoke player. We seem to be so much more solid defensively when Danny Barton came in the team. Nathan Jones can't start a sentence without the word look. Can I just say about Lindsay at the moment? I don't know if it's been shown. But at the time, I thought it was a nasty little swipe at him, which caused the injury. And my understanding is it's a very nasty injury. There were a lot of people saying, oh, my God, he's a wimp. It didn't look nice when he went off.
There's no way Scotsman's going off. They don't have to, Ange.
Well, I don't know about that. But
you should know.
Well, it's not golf, is it? So I can't comment. Crouch Potato 1 says, on our way back, you really do come out with some pearlers, Russ. Please read this. Tom Hall, at this point last season, 8 league games. Rotherham 12 points, Bolton 11 points, Ipswich 4 points. These are the three that ended up going down. We've just doubled our tally yesterday to 2. Back the manager. We have for 30 odd games and we've got 3 wins in that period. Time to go, Nathan. So Crouch Potato asked me to read that out from Tom Hall. I've read it out. Russell, I think it's only right to give you the right to reply to that. Basically, Tom Hall is saying, if I say it in a nutshell, you're talking rubbish.
No, he's just quoting facts.
Yeah,
I can't have an argument with anyone who says he should be sacked, Ange. Because I can see that point of view. Anyone who says sack him, I can respect that argument. I can. And I can't even give a reason for keeping him, other than just a gut reaction, and just that I just can't fathom sacking another manager. This is not what we are about. I haven't been, you know, under Pulis and even Mark Hughes. Did we have 5 years with Mark Hughes? Did we, Ange? Was it?
It seemed like 55 to me, but I think it was five seasons.
5 seasons. Yeah, I mean, at some point, Mark Hughes, I think, was the second longest serving Premier League manager behind Arsene Wenger. So, you know, we don't do things like this. We don't sack people unnecessarily. And I just think, just keep with him just for another couple of weeks maybe, and see what happens, but. The guy, to me, he just can't fathom why he's getting the support he's getting, and he seems genuinely moved by it. But he's already saying in plenty of interviews now, Ange, that he knows his record is appalling, and he knows his other clubs. He may well have already had the bullet. So, you know, I can't argue with anyone who says he should go, but we don't really like doing that on this programme, do we, Ange? So we don't really like calling for people's heads.
No, but I think you've got to be realistic. And from my perspective, I was convinced, wrongly, clearly, that we were going to go up in the top 2 because maybe I bought into what was being said too much. And then you see some of the players that were purchased, and I think, oh, wow, young, up and coming, 31.
Yes, it didn't happen.
No, Pacey, didn't happen. Fullback, McLean, really? Having said that, I'm still not throwing the towel in, and whilst automatic promotion is gone, and I can just see people now flinging their hands up in the air, we could get into sixth spot. So there we go. Yeah, well, what is the point?
You'll be saying in February who you get into 16th spot.
Listen, unless you have belief, right? I personally,
yeah,
right? If I don't believe in something, then I ask myself why I'm doing it, right? And there have been many times in the past season I've asked myself why I've been going to the match, because I haven't enjoyed it. Right, and it's irrespective of all the people saying, well, you get a free. We buy two season tickets a year, and members of our family go to away matches too. Right, I just found it boring, and I'm sure a lot of people did. Entertainment value nil, and it would ruin my weekend. And yesterday, the black cloud didn't descend on my head. Okay, it was a bit grey overcast when we made the draw. You just eventually get to the stage where you think, why am I doing this? And you know what? There's a lot of people this season who have already thought, why am I doing this? That's why we've got so many empty seats at the Bet365. And people that do not believe that the owners are not monitoring the situation, I just don't understand why on earth they feel that nobody would be checking the situation where we're hemorrhaging money because we aren't getting the millions of pounds that we were getting before. We're not getting money through the door on people showing up. They're probably selling less strips. So they're not just going to be sitting back and letting this go on. If they do let it go on, then I'll be staggered. If the results don't pick up by November, I think they will revisit. That is just my personal belief. Youth player, do it for Dobin. Aunt the Oatcake says, hi everyone, really enjoy the show every week. Thank you. I've been following Stoke for too many years I can remember, back to 1964 the first time. Like most fans, when we lose it hurts, but for the first time in all these years I almost want us to lose, so that this nightmare with Jones can end. My word. He's completely out of his depth in every part of his management, his signings, his game plan. All the optimism most fans have had has completely evaporated. Out of desperation, he points to problems within the club or players not available to deflect from his own inadequacies. I think Peter Coates is probably too old to make the decision, and we wait to see whether his son is able to see what needs to be done. Interestingly enough, my understanding is that John was quite keen to get, this is John Coates, was quite keen to get Gary Rowett, and was also sold on Nathan Jones. So you might just wonder if he's going to give them as much time as he has, because they're his decisions, and I'm just saying that. Crouch Potato is saying, Forest go top on Friday if they beat us. What gives you so much confidence, Ross, that we'll beat them when we haven't won all season?
I just think it's got to turn around at some point or another. It's got to. I didn't leave the ground last week feeling as down as I thought I might do. I thought there were genuinely encouraging signs last week. And this week we go away, we get a point, we keep a clean sheet. That's a lot better. That is a lot better, whatever anyone says.
Well, it's a lot better than the last time we were at Brentford.
Well, that's true. Behind after 6 minutes.
They didn't have Romain Sawyers, which was a big difference as well. A couple of other players.
But, it, you know, we are... I just genuinely believe that there is something that Nathan Jones can do for us. And I totally respect anyone who says... His record is appalling. I agree, his record is appalling. And he should be sacked already. I agree, probably. And with other clubs, he probably would have been sacked already. And you could make an argument that he should be sacked. Then there's... Well, you definitely can make an argument that he should be sacked. And anybody would think, listening to some of the comments here, that I haven't been critical of some of the decisions that he's been making. Because I have. So it's like... You know, there's so much you can throw at the lad. Like you've just done in a very nice... eloquent way in about a couple of minutes there, Andrew, you're talking about all the things that he talked about in the close season he was going to do, and we haven't seen any evidence that it's actually happened. You know, so, yeah, there's been a lot of promises made and not many kept so far. I totally accept that. And anyone who wants to say he should be out, I can't argue with you. It's just my opinion. We should stick with him, in my opinion. But, you know, it can't go on much longer, can it, Ange? If he carries on.
No, well, I'll just read one more out from the Oatcake and then let you catch up. It's from Stokey Cares. I feel that yet again the Coates family will reluctantly keep hold of Jones as they can't stand the thought of yet another financial payment to get rid of a bad appointment.
Yeah, it
will be the urgency of the fans which will again force the hand of the owners to react. Jones is clearly out of his depth. That's why he's changing formation, personnel and trying to talk his way out of trouble. Thank you.
And he did make one change, though, this week, which was enforced.
Yeah.
Which seemed to... Then the team seemed to play a lot more... Well, let's put it this way, a lot more solidly. Okay. Elise Stokey says, it's a win at all costs on Friday, or surely he has to go, Ange. Stuart Fulton says, could we try two up top in the Cup? I think we probably could, because that's where we've got more resources ready to play than anyone. Anywhere. And play the same 11 for the next two games. Well, like I say, Stu, he only made one change on Saturday, so we can't really throw that argument on this week, at least, anyway. Duncan Ridgeway says, another woeful performance, just not good enough for professional footballers, Ange. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
What do I think? I think some of the performances by some of the players have been consistently poor for a long, long time, and... it is a worry to me that some of these players continue to perform as they do. So you either have to say that they're completely short of confidence, which might be true for one or two of them, or they're simply not good enough, and I'll leave everybody to have their own decision on whether they think they're good enough or not.
Okay, Danair says, felt we were stronger in the second half, and apart from one or two close calls, thought we were not going to concede. There was even one or two close chances that made me sit up. And while I'm not shouting from the rooftops, I've got an interested eye on getting some good results in the next few weeks. Please don't let it be another false dawn. Matt Bolton says, when James came over to the away end after the game, you could see he was extremely grateful for the support. Fans singing his name, you could see in his face that he wants this and he wants to get this right. Great passion, give him more time. Martin Eagles, though, says to me, Russ, how much time would you give him given his record? Speaks volumes when we're upbeat after a 0-0 at Brentford. I agree. And like I say, there's nothing I can say other than it's just something down
it's
there.
It's a gut reaction.
Something down there is saying stick with the guy. I have got anybody could say to me, you know, Russ, this is his record. Can you argue against it? I cannot argue against what you're saying at home. Some a lot of you. It's just sometimes you have to just forget what you're seeing in relation to tables and results, and you have to believe in someone. And although he's made some mistakes, I do actually feel that there's a manager in there somewhere.
Well, before you carry on, in answer to that, Lightly Led Galismo says, Nathan surely will be sacked if he gets anything less than 6 points from the next two games. How many people actually think that will happen? I personally don't.
Well, he'll get sacked.
Yeah, I think
even if he does it, even if he loses both games.
No, I don't think he will, unless we lose them by 12 or 13-0. I don't think he will.
No. I just think it's the idea of sacking yet another manager that will save him at the moment.
Yeah, possibly.
And I don't mean the compensation. I mean just the idea of this club sacking another manager and then we've made the same mistakes again, Ange. If we do sack him, because we've how many signings did we make? 11.
12, I think.
12 that some other manager might not want, Ange.
Yeah.
So you know that's surely going to have a bearing on it as well.
Sure.
But yeah, somebody could. The people are ringing in and they're taking the Michael out of him by saying, you know, well he's only playing two or three of them out of the 12 he bought. I would have thought that if I was Nathan Jones, every one of the signings that I was making, as I've said on this programme before, were going to be starters in my team. And for them many players who he signed not to be starters, there's something that doesn't sit quite right with me about that, I must say. Somebody said to me that Adam Davies is not very happy. Yesterday somebody said that to me and about the fact that he thought he was coming here as number one And now he's not even on the bench on a Saturday.
Well, you would. I mean, you don't have to be Einstein to work out why he came to Stoke City.
Mm-hmm.
Irrespective of who his agent is, irrespective of what people have said, he came because he was in the team of the First Division. He was captain and he played for Wales. And he obviously, like most people, thought Jack Butland was going to go. And if I sit here now and say that I expected Adam Federici to be in front of him, I would be telling lies.
I would too.
So you would only assume that either he's not in a good, rich vein of form at the moment, which would go hand in hand with our keepers, or there is a reason that Nathan Jones isn't playing him. And whereas somebody has said to you that he's not happy, somebody said to me that Nathan Jones was desperate to get Adam Davis and thought he was the perfect answer at Stoke. So there's something obviously not quite right. I've seen him warming up. You've seen him playing.
I
wouldn't at this moment in time consider him to be a better option than Adam Federici. And that's just on what I've seen in warm-ups.
He played all right. He played all right on Monday.
Okay.
But the bank holiday Monday, I saw him at Leek, the previous one. He made a record for the goal. In my opinion, anyway. Bob Biddulph says on Twitter, always wanted Nathan Jones to do well, but he hasn't, unfortunately. And a few months with even a minor uplift in form will see us in the thick of a relegation battle, if we're not caught even further adrift beforehand. You know, I can't, again.
But by the same token, and you say things don't happen like that. Look at last year's league table at this time of the year. Look where Norwich and Aston Villa were after a few more matches. And if you want an even bigger case of unpredictable results, look at Leicester, not when they won the league, but when they got out of trouble. They were cut apart, completely adrift, and everybody said they were dead.
And got results all over the place that no one was expecting. Right. So, Manchester City is
listen,
for one, I think.
I am not expecting Stoke to do a Leicester. I am not expecting Stoke to do a Norwich or an Aston Villa. What I am expecting is that squad to get enough results in the next 10 games to get us way away from the relegation zone and to build on that. I do agree if we lose the next two matches, which is highly possible, and it's also not probable that that will happen, I would say then I will revisit it and probably start seeing black clouds every day of the week until the end of the season. We all want Stoke to do well. It is pretty desperate at the moment, but I'm just rejoicing in the fact that we didn't lose yesterday and we kept a clean sheet. And at this moment in time, I'm just quite happy for small little grains of
That's
comfort.
Progress. You can understand why everyone is pessimistic, though, Ange. It has been a very difficult exercise supporting this club over the last 3 years. You've got to say that.
Look,
we've been over
the last 3 years, Russell.
3 years.
It's more than 3 years. We had a last year and a half of utter rubbish under Mark Hughes. You forget that.
Well, it is 3 years, isn't it?
Okay.
Four seasons. Okay. We were in the semi-final of the League Cup.
And the wheels fell off after that big
Yes,
time.
And we still don't know why, do we?
Yeah.
And I don't know why.
No.
Nobody's gonna explain to me why that happened at all. Should have been a real springboard for future success that Stoke can get that close to going in a cup final. You know, but it never worked. John Stoddard says, Heaton said on 5 Live that he would only go to a Premier League team. He feels he's proven that he is good enough.
I would agree with that.
He might be out of work for a while then.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Hall says, I was a point yesterday, a step in the right direction compared to last year. When we lost to Brentford last year, we went bottom or second from bottom of the league. Can't argue with that either, can you, Ange? I can't anyway. Right. Stu Burgess says, just like to say that the Stoke ladies game today was most enjoyable and it was nice to see a team win at the Bet365. Hope the men can do the same. Ted says that Nathan Jones has got to stay long term. Lee Stokey says, when shall we ask him for him to be sacked when we're in League One? He's turned out to be a disastrous appointment. Go on, Ange. Has he turned out to be a disastrous appointment?
Well, time will tell if he's turned out to be a disastrous appointment. He's not doing cutting the mustard at the moment, is he?
Ethan Fennekin says, Jones has had more than enough time to turn it around. He's had last season, at the end of last season, he's had pre-season to prepare the players, and we're still as dire as last season.
You can't knock that, can you?
Wayne Allerton says, hello all the way from Mexico.
Hey, you having a nice time, Wayne?
Looks like it. Scott Price says, he was saying brilliant to the fans at the end. I was standing close to him near the goal. This is from that footage that I've put on Twitter and a lot of other people have. Dan Eyre says, it's been 3 or 4 years of a downward spiral. And the task to turn us around is bigger than trying to get the Titanic away from that iceberg. I think Nathan James is the right person for us, and there have been green shoots before. I just need to make sure we don't feed it weed killer again by losing constantly. I mean, it's true, and everybody sitting at home hasn't got a shred of confidence, neither have I, that we're going to win 4 consecutive matches all of a sudden. No. I think I'd just settle for winning a couple, maybe losing one, and then winning one again. Do you know what I mean? Just some sort of momentum going forward. I can understand why nobody's got any confidence that that is going to happen at all, because it just hasn't happened for so long, Ange, has it? Stuart Law says, Russ, admire what you say and your support for Nathan James, but don't believe that all supporters at Stoke think the same. He is on very thin ice. Stevie Breeze says, who do you suggest we get in?
That's a very good point.
They will have the same players. May as well have Jones until at least January, although I would give him at least the full season, says Steve.
Steve, whilst we're on the subject, it's the only thing I'm going to agree with you on tonight, because for those of you that don't know Steve, he cheats at
Super Six,
but we'll go into that. And if you're asking us how, we'll go into that another time. But it's I'd like to throw the question out there as well that Steve just said, and I'm not asking for people to send us different managerial choices. I'm just saying, if you realistically look at who's out there and you don't want to go the old way of Moyes, Allardyce, Pulis, Rowett even, and I'm not saying we get him back, by the way, then your choices are limited. And I'll look at Huddersfield again, and they wanted Houghton and then said they wanted the Cowley brothers. So there isn't...
Well, they've gone the same route as us, haven't they?
Yeah, but there isn't
If you were going to make a choice of who was the biggest prospect as a manager in League 1 and 2, and you would have gone for the Nigel Cowley. That's something different altogether, isn't it? Cowley from Lincoln. He's done wonders there, hasn't he? Same as Nathan James has done at Luton.
Yeah,
They've taken the same route as us, and whether it works or not for them is another matter.
Well, Steve's just sent a message to me, and he says, I just don't see where the goals are coming from, and I'm sure a lot of other people might share that. So thanks, Steve, for your comment. Hopefully you'll tell us how we can rectify that with somebody else or some of the current players we've got.
Well, Dan Mullock says, I agree, Russ. It's bad, but I so want this to work out. I'm convinced he'll come good, but how long can we let this carry on? I believe we're fighting to stay up this season. No one gets relegated after 8 games, but yesterday was a positive. Luke, as I say this, and I mean it when I say it, that if we did get relegated out of this league with the squad of players that we have got, it would be unthinkable.
If we get relegated out of this league, Russell, you can take the whole of group tickets, you can take your corner that was another...
And build it up, take it apart brick by brick and build it to the
wall. Was another ridiculous thing, as I said at the time. Yes, it was. It's empty most of the time.
But it wasn't.
If children are naughty at the moment, they are made to take those free tickets and go to the game. That's how bad it is. If your child is naughty, you take them to Stoke.
I love it.
No, love seriously, it. If we go down, and for those of you not watching on Facebook, hand holding head onto neck at the moment.
Yes.
If we do go down, I will be absolutely mortified, because that will be even worse than being in the Championship.
Oh, it's awful.
It's not just the impact it has to the supporters. There are people employed by Stoke City who, even at this moment in time, must be worried about their job. Decent, ordinary people who work a 9-to-5 job in a business that is dependent on people going through the doors, right? I'm not saying we go just to keep those people in a job, but there's far more important things than just losing a football match at stake if they go down. There is the livelihood of a lot of people in this city who work hard, who do their best, and who, and also the surrounding shops will have been hit by the less people coming. So it will be a massive disaster if we go down. It simply can't happen. We must do something as owners. When I say we, I'm not an owner. The owners must know this, they will know it, and I believe that they will do everything possible for it not to happen. Because ultimately, if the owners decide to sell this football club, it's not a great thing to buy at the moment in terms of how much money they'll get for it. Okay, money might not mean everything to them at the moment, but it's not really a priceless asset. It's not the same thing to sell as it was 24 months ago. So the other thing for people saying it's gone stagnant at the top, which I tend to agree with, who are you going to get to come in and buy it? If people are not prepared to buy Newcastle United in the Premier League without lots of string attached, who is going to come in locally? We have local owners who we may not think are doing the greatest for the football club at the moment, but trust me, I don't want overseas owners running my football club. That's my own personal viewpoint. So let's hope they get it right. Back to you.
Okay.
I went off on one there, didn't I?
No, but it's totally right. It would be... It was we made huge mistakes to allow ourselves to get relegated in the first place, and we should not have allowed that to happen. But I don't think there's anybody sitting at home who genuinely thinks that this squad of players should be anywhere near the bottom of this table. I swear. You know, there's something that it is unimaginable that this squad of players will not get results to at the very least keep us in this league, and that would be unacceptable. Just to keep us in this league, it would be unacceptable with the amount of wages the club are playing and things like that. It's just, we're all desperate, and I can't imagine what the board are thinking. To be honest, Ange.
Well, I should think you'd be pretty desperate at the moment.
I can't. There's not many people who've been giving him as much stick as I have, as you know previously. But the last couple of years, you can't really knock them in respect of what they've given the manager. Gary Rowett, they gave him a pot full of money, huge amount of money that both of us didn't think they would spend. I was asking for them to spend it, if you remember, but you didn't think they would throw that much money at it, did you, Ange?
Well, throw it away is more the expression.
And now that, to be fair to the owners, that has happened a lot. But now, they don't seem to have made any, you know, decisions to address that. I mean, if I was Peter Coates and I was just making a list of these signings and the money that has been spent over the last 3 or 4 years... I'd be so happy that Denise is doing so well, because, you know, you can't afford to chuck that sort of money away, can you, Ange?
Well, no, you can't.
Terrible.
Steve's got back to say, in relation to his quote about not seeing where the goals were coming from, to get up you need a striker scoring 15+, another chipping in. Yeah, you do. And to not go down you need that same striker to score some goals. So thanks for that, Steve.
Yeah, but we've signed a number of strikers, haven't we? How many have we signed, Ange, over the last few years? And we just haven't found one who's produced.
I've no idea, but Crouch Potato's got me here. Can I just ask you a pair of questions? Of course you can. All of a sudden, the pair of you seem to be very wary of saying anything controversial about Nathan Jones. Very odd to me. Well, I've just told you exactly what I think, and if it's not controversial enough for you, just tell me what you want me to say. If I agree with it, I'll say it. If I don't, I won't. But I've told you what I think of Nathan Jones. I think his talk's a good game. I said last week on this show, if this may be not controversial, talking has to stop and we have to start getting results. I've also said elsewhere that if a manager is really nice and unlucky, give me a manager I can't stand who's really lucky, who grinds out 1-0s, and gets us up the league. So if you want me to be controversial, if that's controversial, I'll be controversial. I do like the bloke. I think he's very passionate about our football club, but his results are awful. And he knows his results are awful. So, sorry, I don't know if you want to answer that, Russ.
I did say last week if he keeps playing McLean at left back, he'll end up getting the sack.
Yeah, you did, but that's not controversial. That's common knowledge.
No, but I've been going on about that ever since since the start of the season. And he has made some really, that is a fundamental mistake that will probably end up costing him his job.
Maybe.
Ange. You know, it will.
All right, well, maybe. Before we carry on witching on, and there's loads on the Oatcake, which I'll go on to now.
On Facebook.
Can you please send us what you think your team would be for Crawley, because we've got a match at Crawley and then obviously we've got a match on Friday. Absolution says, I've largely been in the same camp as Russ. I really like Jones' personality and his obvious passion for the game. Where I accepted reluctantly, I welcomed Jones with open arms because of the obvious attacking and goal-scoring intent of his Luton team. I bought into his rhetoric about wanting fast, attacking, athletic players. Then he bought Vokes. That one signing for me rang alarm bells. None of the players he's bought since have helped allay my concerns. Nothing that happened has fitted with Nathan's words. I still want him to do well, obviously, but an unconvincing performance in the Cup and a defeat to Forest, I just can't think of a single reason for him to keep his job. I think we've just said the same absolution, haven't we? I think his signings haven't lived up to his promise. Jacob says, we now appointed Phil Chappell as our head of recruitment, chief scout, or in a similar role. He's head of first team recruitment. People seem to think he's replaced Mark Cartwright. I could turn around and say, who on earth could replace Mark Cartwright? But I won't.
That could be controversial.
That's controversial. Phil Chappell is the head of the first team recruitment and chief scout. Does this indicate that the board are going to give Jones quite a bit more time to turn things around, especially as he worked with Jones previously? I think it indicates that the owners of our football club, when they give their word, keep it. And that's all I think it indicates at the moment.
Okay, Stuart Nichols says the next two games, 4 points is an absolute minimum. Steve Morris says, for the contrary point of view in relation to keeping Nathan Jones, he says, battling for a point against Brentford is absolutely pathetic. Ben Cliff says, we're 6 points from safety, 3 wins in 30 games, enough said. He needs to go before it's too late. Judge me now this season, he says. He's rock bottom of the Championship, no wins. And a minus 10 goal difference. The only positive is he made one change, funnily enough, what we said. It must have been the first time this season. Jones out before it's too late. I can't argue. Lee Stokey says, not entirely sure, to be honest, Steve. I do have a lot of time for Chris Hughton, but I don't think he would come. But surely this can't be allowed to continue. No manager at any other club would survive his record. I just believe he's going to take us down. Well, to regard to your first part of your comment, he's already said that himself. So, he knows. David Jury says, totally agree with you, Russ, Nathan. Changing him now would not help, especially with the transfer window closed. Yeah, and we'd have the same problem with players again, wouldn't we? We've got a number of players at the club who wouldn't be the new man's players, and you can't change them anyway. And we're less and less likely to be able to change them at the end of this season. Ash Mould says, Jones in, one up top at home out.
Yeah, I would agree.
See, that's being critical, and that's fair enough. You really can be critical of the guy and still support him, I think. You can be critical of what he's doing and overall wanting to stay. Gary Eagle says, the vicar will be there on Friday evening collecting donations. The church. Ted says, how bad is the Lindsay injury? You said it was quite a nasty cut, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a very... He's had part of his eye glued, and the cut was very large underneath the eye. But I think it's possibly safe to say that he'll be missing on Tuesday, because you wouldn't want to risk that, would you? But it looked like a scrape, you know? That's a potter's expression for anybody listening overseas. Somebody sort of raked their hand across his face. Whether it was intentional or not, I don't know, because I was a little bit far away from it, but it's a very nasty injury. Absolution says, in answer to the message that was on about liking Jones's personality and talking about being unconvinced by those signings, surely Vokes and Bart were agreed before he joined and he just rubber-stamped the purchases given he was applying for the job. That is from Absolution.
Okay. Andy Fernio says, what a sorry state we're in when a down 0-0 away to a poor Brentford team is seen as a positive.
I agree.
I'll say this as well about negatives. I think Martin Smith's son said on the Twitter feed, Ange, that he couldn't recall these shots on target BBC Sport were talking about. Can you help us with that?
Because I don't know which shots he couldn't recall.
He couldn't recall any shots on target. Well, but BBC had four.
Etteboe for a kickoff made one that the keeper managed to save. So there's one, and apart from that,
could you think of four?
Not really.
No.
But I couldn't think of four of them either.
They got two. Did they two?
Stokey Mark says the quality of Badu and Dai has shone through in the last couple of games, and in truth, the luxury of having a £16 million midfielder who won the league with Galatasaray is more than any Championship manager can dream of.
Mm-hmm.
With the players we had on show yesterday, if we cannot get at least 4 points from the next two games, then Jones simply has to be fired. He will have had 10 games this season, and we simply have to be clinical and make the right decision for the football club. It may prove not to be the answer, but I remain convinced that a manager with Championship level experience will then be our only hope of dragging us out of this mess. Mark, if you're still online, just tell us who you think that manager might be. And Spire Red says, you're right, Russ, this group of players should not be at the bottom of the Championship. Is there any manager in any league that could have performed worse than Jones?
All the players.
No, come on, answer that.
No, probably not.
So why do you still want to stick with him?
Gut reaction.
Okay.
I've got no answer other than that. None at all. None. So, but I also agree with everyone who says he should be gone. I can also see that argument as well. I'm just going to the point now where I just want somebody to be a success at this club, some way, shape or form. And I just feel, and I'd like that to be somebody who would make a success of this club, who's somebody we'd actually like.
And Crouch Potato Lawn's comeback saying his question regarding us not being controversial was based on years gone by on the programme where if a manager had this sort of record, 1-3, drawn 13, lost 12, he'd have been slaughtered. But instead we have Russ saying we're on our way back. I find it totally bizarre. A lot of fans will wake up when it's too late. Russ has always been deluded. So that is my main worry. I understand what you're saying, and I also understand that if his name had been Mark Hughes, I'd have been the first calling for him to be out. And if his name had been Gary Rowett. But a lot of that is based on a woman's intuition and liking a bloke. And at least I'm honest enough to say it. Do I think he's the answer? I don't know whether he's the answer, but I do know that the owners will be looking at the amount of money they've spent, and whether this is the right reason or not, it will be one of the major factors, and they won't want to be paying Mark Hughes, Gary Rowett, Paul Lambert, and Nathan Jones off at the same time. Please don't think that they won't factor that in. They'll be hoping upon hope that he turns it round, but I'm pretty sure too that if he doesn't, he'll be gone. And 19 not beaten 72 says, has a manager ever kept hold of his job with such an awful record? The answer to that is probably no. But back to you, Russell.
Dan Mullock says, swap ins for Hogan and play two up top for a team on Tuesday. Same team on Friday. Let's see how that goes. Dan says, versus Crawley, go 4-3-3. Federici, Smith, Bart, Collins, Ward. Cousins, Badu, Duffy, Ince, Campbell, Clucas. The reason for this is keeping the squad happy, but also the fitness of key players high for another match 3 days later.
Okay,
that's good. Scott Price says they are 6 pointers, really. Back-to-back wins is what we need right now, and the difference it would make if we can win against Forest and Huddersfield. Duncan Ridgeway says, how many captains have we had this season? No one at the helm steering us from what I can see, he says, because he was Jack Boland yesterday, Dave Wayne says, evening, Russ and Ange. Enjoyed the day at Brentford yesterday, but if we played all night, we wouldn't have scored. We definitely need two up front. I know somebody who also enjoyed the day at Brentford yesterday, but left as soon as the final whistle went. Didn't wait to clap like the video is showing everybody else doing. Dan Eyre says, I'm the same. Despite the results, there is a nagging feeling of not sacking the manager. I think there is something happening in the background that we can't see, and this will come to the fore in time. I had the same hopes for Rowett, but it feels different this time with Jones. Andy Furnio says, let's talk about his signings that can't even make the starting 11. Now, I'm not being funny here, but Crouch Potato is saying that we are... What have I been saying for weeks about these signings, Ange? About you'd think that every one of them would be a starter and playing in the squad. Now, this, people are saying this now. Can't even make the starting 11. Davies, Bart, Smith, Ward, Powell, Hogan.
Powell's injured.
Well, he wasn't injured the other week when he said he was fit and he wasn't even in the squad.
He then repeated on the Monday that he wasn't fit enough.
Okay, then. But he did say in the open mic session he wasn't fit.
He wasn't fit enough.
Okay. And the midfielder from QPR whose name I can't remember.
Cousins.
Yeah, well, most of us feel like that, I think. Oh, and Duffy, he says. He was dreadful on Monday, I have to be honest. Ben Cliff says, you say all that about changing managers, Ange. The difference is we've been awful for 9 months. Watford had a poor game against Manchester City, not Charlton, a team who got promoted from League One. Huddersfield have taken a risk with the Cowley brothers. We should go to a tried and tested and experienced manager.
Just tell us who you think that would be. And Dan Mullock has also, Stokey Matt said, in regard to my flippant comment about children having to go because they're naughty to the match. Like it, Angie, it's gone from the Russell Dutton corner to the naughty step corner. Perhaps you can go and sit up there and do a bit of flag waving.
I don't want to sit up there and flag wave.
Right.
Dan says, Butland, Edwards, Carter Vickers, Bart, Martins Indy, Ward, Badu, Atibo, Clucas, Hogan, Gregory against Forest. So there we are.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because Bruno Martins Indy has come in and has made a big difference. And in the past, if we're talking about being controversial, in the past when people didn't play well enough or even hinted that they might want to move elsewhere, in the past, everybody's been shouting, get rid of him, don't play him. If he doesn't want to play for us, get rid of him. Bruno Martins Indy was really important in that defence, and it'd be interesting to see if people think he should be playing. People have been talking about Badu wanted to go. Yes, he did. People are saying Etebo didn't want to stay. It's the first I've heard of that, by the way, that I believe he's very happy here, and we'll give it at least 12 months. But who knows? Nobody is picking Ince in that team. And I'm not a big fan of Ince. I think he could do a lot more than he is doing for the football club. I think Tyrese Campbell will get a start on Tuesday night, and let's see how he does in that.
I'm sure he'll do well.
And then we have to look at Friday's match, which obviously will be a little bit dependent. I certainly wouldn't play Butland on Tuesday because with our luck he'll probably fall and do his chuckle muscle. Do his chuckle muscle or something.
Stuart Faulkner says, Ange, what does Paul Hart do?
Do you know, if
perhaps you should ask him.
If you're asking me, I watch him in the pre-match warm-up, as I'm sure a lot of Stoke fans do, and he seems to, I think the nicest word is observe, and occasionally throws a ball back. But when and if I see him, I will ask him what exactly his role is.
Bart came on a sub, so did Vokes. They're talking about yesterday. Matt Bolton says, Duncan Ridgeway says, and Dye will make a difference, but how soon it will take until he throws his toys out of the pram with what's around him. Duncan Ridgeway says, David Jury says, never understand why you would make Jack captain. Is it to boost his confidence?
Could be.
Andy Furnier says, 7 of the starting 11 yesterday were already at the club. Steve Bree says, winning at Crawley could help build momentum. That could be vital going into Forest. Bob Hardy says, Crawley's a game we can win, build confidence and hopefully score goals and take that into the Forest game. Stuart Law says, agree, the cup is very important. Nice win will be a great lift, same as Leeds. JV Jury says, I saw that Yarmolenko scored for West Ham today. Do you remember those heady days we were linked with him? Funnily enough, I was talking to a Liverpool fan this afternoon who said exactly the same, because they were trying to sign him at the same
time
as us.
It was very, very close to coming. It was just, if you remember, the owner of the football club said Stoke City were not a good enough club
for him.
For his club to sell somebody to.
Yeah.
And maybe he was right, because look where we are now.
Yeah, Tom Hall says, never mind Paul Hart, what does Sam Clickers do? Dan Hare says, I agree, a win at Crawley would be a good confidence boost, and winning breeds winning. It does. Scott Price says, it could help momentum, absolutely, for must wins against Forest and Huddersfield at home. Lee Davies says, what's all the fuss about? Cracking away performance against a team with one tenth of our budget. The stats are shocking. Time to go, Nathan. Yeah. Stuart Nichols says he knows League One very well. Nathan James.
Yeah, and if you look at Luton, they're plummeting down the table in their Championship too. Fuller Magic says, I did think it was notable that the Houghton link came from John Cross, who was the one who broke the news he'd turned down Wednesday and had the inside story on his Brighton dismissal. Indeed, a Google search does show he has a close journalistic relationship with him. He also has a close journalistic relationship with Gary Rowett and Tony Pulis. It could mean there is definitely something in this one if there's a relationship between them. And then he quotes all the stories about where he might go. And he said on 3 to 4 occasions in recent months that he's accepted he will have to be open to looking at the Championship for his next job. Neddy says, is the price of paying off 3 to 4 managers any worse than wasting millions on certain players? A phobie. Surely he's alone in more than paying the managers off. Surely he alone is more than paying the managers off. I wouldn't be too sure about that, actually. Certain managers are have made a fortune out of being removed from certain football clubs. If you want to Google that, you'll probably see how much one certain manager, who was a manager of Stoke City, has made out of, I think the term is, being a failure as a football manager. Good luck to him.
You're not having another dig at Mark Hughes.
I'm not having a dig at anybody. I'm stating facts.
Oh, yeah, very good. Gary Pardy says, hope they play two up front against Crawley. Didn't Crawley knock Norwich out of the cup?
Yeah, I believe they did.
Duncan Ridgway, in relation to your top six comment, I think this is, saying, is put your drink down, Ange. It's not me this time, it's you.
Yeah,
see?
Yeah.
Andy Fernio says, have you got a parrot?
I don't know, but if you want to send me one, I can...
Is he talking about me?
I'm just saying, if he wants to send me one, we could do the dead parrot sketch.
Mandy Dowling has just said, and yeah, that's right. And I'll read this out now. Bearing in mind, we normally come to the women. It's about half past seven anyway. We had a fantastic day at the Bet365 today. The ladies played against Hull. A fantastic crowd of 855, Ange, which is a record by a mile for Stoke City ladies, and just shows you how much promotion's been done this week by everyone involved who wants to see this. Who wants to see this work? They played Hull. Like I say, they went 4-0 up. Faye McCoy scored the first two goals. First one was very good header. Abby Hunt scored a lovely goal after a pass from Tash Tesgell through the midfield and through the defence. It was a fantastic goal. Brilliantly finished by Abby. And Alison Hall got on the score sheet, which was great to see after a few weeks not scoring. So, after scoring last week as well, the winner. So she's on fire now. And they're away at Middlesbrough next week. But I must say that Stoke did brilliantly today, and they actually treated it like a normal fixture, a normal Saturday afternoon fixture. You know, the screens were on, everything was on, the tannoy, the lot. And then I think you remember when I said we went and played at Blackburn a couple of seasons ago at Ewood Park against Blackburn Rovers ladies. They did exactly the same. It makes such a difference. You know, it was a wonderful occasion. So, and I'm sure they've gained quite a few new fans today on the basis of that. I will say this, though. Stoke can play a lot better than that than they did today, and they won 4-1 as well. So, great time. They're moving up that table. And if they can just click with the passing, things like that, they'll do well this season, I'm sure. And the reserves had a stonking win as well at Loughborough this afternoon, and 6-2. Jodie Foxall scored 2, Michelle Saunders scored 2, Nuala Maskeel scored 1, and Jess Richardson scored as well. Andrew, who's been in the development side, who I know people are saying and starting to take notice of Jess, so there's somebody who's moved up into the reserves now and scoring there as well. So great stuff from Jess. And like I say, 855. Every programme that was printed, was sold, Ange, as well. So that's fabulous. Tom Hall says, is he on about a parrot because the feed keeps echoing?
Tom, can you tell us which feed you're listening to? Because on all the equipment here, it's coming up as perfectly good. So that's. Do you want to hear what some of the some of the audio from yesterday, or do you want to keep rabbiting on, Russ, like a parrot?
I will do. I'll just read a couple more out. Liam says, as unlikely as it is, the playoffs are possible. Look at Villa last season. Same position as Stoke up until February, then out of nowhere get 11 wins on the bounce. I'd like to settle for 2 on the bounce at the moment, Andrew, wouldn't you? Dan Air says, the next 2 weeks are critical, positive results, and I can see us going on a late charge. Or it will be lower table, but not relegation. Well, let's hear from Nathan Jones, because I think Ange spoke to him after the game.
Nathan, it's nice to see you not tearing your hair out and looking quite relaxed at the end of a game.
Look, I've been a bit philosophical this week. There's been so much reports. I mean, there's been reports of people coming in and my job and so on. And it's the first time I've been in that position, so it's difficult. So it's, last night I came down here. Got the hotel early. I took my sports scientist out. We sat in a pub right by the hotel and just had a little think and just a little bit of philosophical about stuff. We can't change certain stuff, but the players are giving me everything. We're unlucky at the minute. We're just not far off from being a good side, not a top side, but we're not far off from being a good side. And it's just that little bit. There's so much work behind the scenes, really are. And I said I'm proud of them today. And that's why I'm feeling as relaxed. I can't control media or outside influences in any way. All I can do is I'm proud of my staff, I'm proud of myself, I'm proud of my wife, I'm proud of how the team have worked for me today. And that shows that we've got a good group here that want to graft. And we'll climb the league. We will climb the league because we've got good players here. And they want to work. This is only the second time I've been able to pick from a full squad in terms of a side that's focused and wants to do well. So I'm happy.
There was one incident when the ref slipped as we looked like we were going to cross the ball and score. And I think, like most Stoke fans, I thought, looks out again. But we rode that bit of luck that when they had the pressure. But we were the best team today, and I thought the team performed very well for you. They all put their bodies on the line, and I think that shows they're right behind you.
Oh, they are right. I know they're right behind me because I see them every day, and they're an honest group. They're a good group. That's what I'm saying about the work we've done, because it was difficult last year, really, really difficult. It was an eye-opener for me, and we ploughed through a lot. And then this year, we've got a good group, and a group that wants to work. They've been unlucky. We shouldn't be top of the league. We should be second or third, but mid-table would be, if it hit 9-10 points, that would be a true reflection, I think, of how we've started. So things have gone against us, we're playing catch-up, but we're doing it from a good platform, and that's the good thing. It's good things underneath this team, and I'm looking forward now rather than dwelling on the past.
Well, that's good. But Liam Lindsay looked like he had quite a nasty injury, cut to his eye.
Disappointed with that, really, because we had the ref. I spoke to the ref this morning before the game about certain things that happened last week, because he was the fourth official last week, and things really didn't go for us last week. And I was disappointed in them this week. The player, one of them booted a ball over the stand when the referee had blown his whistle. Another one kicked a ball 40 yards up the pitch and nothing happens. And you're thinking, and then Lee Gregory has an innocuous challenge with his arm and he gets booked. And then Liam Lindsay cuts his massive cut along his eye and nothing happens. So I'm a little bit puzzled with certain things that's gone on, really. But, we have to bite our tongue because of the era of respect and things like that. I'm a bit disappointed there because Liam's a strong, big character. Last week could have gone down and rolled about, but he didn't. And then this week he's been caught proper,
And looking at the cup match now, you'll probably have to make one or two changes because of the nature of the week. We've got Nottingham Forest on Friday. How do you think you'll have to do that? Do you think there'll be many changes?
Look, I'm not saying there'll be wholesale changes, but we have to use the squad. We've done that. We've come with a light squad today in terms of literally travelled with the 18 and left some at home so that they can, they can get training in them. They're not travelling. Then club have been brilliant. We fly down Tuesday. We'll again travel with as light a squad as possible so the others can train Wednesday. And then there's a lot of planning gone into this week. So we're looking for all three games to get positive results in all three games.
Well, good luck and thank you.
Thank you, Chief.
You talked at the Thursday press conference, Maddie.
You're not listening to the rest, then?
Well, do you want me to?
Yes, of course. That's
would you like to listen to the rest? Okay.
Replicating errors of a pretty few, if any, today, and some fantastic tackling by your side. You must be really pleased by the solid performance today.
That's what I am pleased with. It's a disciplined performance, a real desire to defend, to work hard. And if we'd done that in past games and really shown that, a real sort of discipline, then look, we've pretty much won well, we haven't lost many games this year, but it's errors that have cost us. We know that, big errors, but that doesn't happen all the time. We think we've now evening out a little bit. We're coming through that little period, and performance-wise, we haven't been bad. We haven't been bad in the Leeds game. The second half, they were better than us, and I keep admitting that. We made big errors, so we never could have a performance at Preston. But apart from that, we've been decent. And that was it was a almost complete performance today. But if Peter had nicked that, that would have been a wonderful away performance. Thank you, Chief.
So, just a couple of quick things there. He's clearly going to make changes. He's also thought about the week ahead, as you would expect, whereby he took just the 18 down to Brentford, and they went down the day before, and they're flying down to Crawley, presumably Gatwick, on Tuesday. And they'll take just the squad down for that, and then on Wednesday the rest will be training. So he's obviously tried to think through the rigours of the week. And we understand that there was a bird tweeting in the background. That's because the window is open and it's been quite a nice sunny day down here. Well, not that really sunny. But the Pirate Link tune-in radio is where the buffering's going on, so we apologise for that. And Neddy said, is the price of paying off 3 to 4 managers any worse than wasting millions on certain players? More than 10 million then, Ange? Well, I can't say because I don't have the records of how much they're paying, but Mark Hughes didn't just leave alone. He left with a considerable amount of staff, which cost and are still costing the club a considerable amount of money. Gary Rout left with staff, far less staff than Mark Hughes. And if Paul Lambert left with a couple of staff, and I presume Nathan Jones's staff would go with him. So you're not just talking about 3 or 4 managers. You're probably talking in the region of 18 to 20 people. And of those 18 to 20 people, a lot of them will be on a lot of money. So I can't do the exact maths for you, but I think it would be a lot more than you and I would want to pay out. Back to you.
The Brews are overdue, I know that.
They are, yeah. And we've also got something from Lee Gregory in a bit, but Ross, you need to catch up.
I do. Stuart Nichols says, I agree, but it's difficult to see one win, let alone 2 back-to-back wins, but he is hoping. Glyn Rossmandowski says, you normally say.
Who?
Yeah, Glyn Rossmandowski says, I agree with you, Ange. Every game I go, I think we're going to win, and you say Russ is delusional. Adam Plant, how long do you leave it before making a decision? This is relegation form. You can't argue, can you, with people saying things like that? Susan Southern Marshall says, congratulations to the women's team won 4-1 at the Bet365 today against Hull. An amazing record crowd of 855. Yeah, and the lower tier was pretty packed. Great stuff. Jamie Heath says, now I've moved back to Stoke from Sweden. I hope it will bring some luck back to the Bet365, as my family are Irish, full of little leprechauns, he says.
Brilliant. Well,
let's hope so. Ashley Daly says, we need to bring Tony Pulis back. He will sort the defence out and make us go up a league instead of down. He is a better manager and he would get us out of this mess and get us back where we belong in the Premier League.
Okay, well, let's have your opinions on that. It's been done to death, in my opinion, and I was a big Tony Pulis fan. Would I want him back for a third time? Probably not.
Dan agrees with you. He says, no, we definitely don't need TP back. Andy Furnio says, God, no. Scott Price says he won't come back because of his relationship with Tony Scholes.
So in every cloud.
Yeah. Matt Bolton says, why on earth do we need TP back? Move on. Stuart Faulkner says, would you drop Tom Ince?
Would you?
No.
Well, I would.
Well, I thought he played quite well the other week. Mark Thorley says lose the next 2 home games and he's got to go. Now, maybe that would be, I think, the inevitable outcome, don't you, Ange?
I don't. And I'm not what, saying it's right.
If he lost the last 2, now lost the
I'm
next
not,
2?
I'm not saying it's right. But
we'd certainly be cut adrift then, wouldn't we?
Yeah, we would be. And then I think we start looking. But I don't think they'll do anything. I really don't.
Okay, Matt Bolton, Norwich beat Tottenham after losing to Crawley. It's a funny old game, yeah. It's true. Duncan Ridgeway says, Davis told Nathan Jones to go forth and multiply in a bust-up. That's why he's not playing.
Right, well,
there's an exclusive. That? Duncan Ridgway says...
How do you know, Duncan? Spill the beans.
Joanne Campbell says, Paul Lambert went to Ipswich last October. He got them relegated with 5 wins out of 46. They kept him on, and now he's had 2 windows to put together his own squad and is now sitting at the top of the league with... what does that say? With only 4... Yeah, and 9. Come on, Anne, just one of them quizzes.
Well...
Four goals against in nine. That's it, I'll go for that. I don't think that we will get relegated this season, but fans saying that nobody keeps a manager after this type of record needs to have a look at this. Plus, Lambert still has the support of the fans. Neil says if we lose the next 2 league games, then it's time to make a decision. We're falling behind points-wise. We can't afford to keep losing and falling further behind. It's a results business in today's game. I want James to succeed. I honestly do, but any more losses, we've got to do the right thing. Chris Hughton is the ideal choice. Stuart Nichols says, the question is, are the players he signed really the ones he wanted or the ones he was told he could have? Here we go, he's the old chestnut again, Ange. If they are his choice, why isn't he putting faith in them? Which is an excellent point.
Yeah, well, why do you think that is?
I've got no answers.
Okay.
Have you got any answers?
Not a clue.
But it's true, it's a fair point. Absolutely. It's a very fair, if you want to have a go, it's a very fair
Could
comment.
It be that he bought those players for a system that he now realises doesn't work, or he thought they'd work in a system and they don't?
That's deeply worrying. Mish says, can we swap managers with the ladies team as they're doing so well? Jackie Steele says, I would drop Tom Ince and play Hogan alongside Gregory. Hopefully we can kick on from now. Ian says, this new director of football has done nothing in football, as far as he can see. So it's another yes man to agree with Scholes.
Who's the new director of football? There isn't a director of football. He's head of first team recruitment.
OK, Gary Pardy says, how many have Brentford conceded at home this season? I honestly don't know. Somebody will tell us. Stuart Law says, Sunderland probably said the same. Cannot drop any more. Mm. And they did.
There's lots of horrible similarities between
there
us
is.
And Sunderland.
I don't think he is a director of football, says Dan Eyre. This is in relation to this comment from Ian. I thought he was chief scout to highlight the players for Jones, and he apparently has a good track record in finding European nuggets.
Well, I'm just going to say this.
Chicken nuggets.
I'm just going to say this. Badu and Dye, Peter Etterbo, please tell me who found those players.
Ben Cliff.
I'm asking you a question, Russell.
Yeah, well, I know what you're going to say.
It was Mark Cartwright. Yeah, and now he's gone. I'm not saying he should or shouldn't, but everybody's just drooling over players that
is Mark going back into football?
I have no idea what he's doing.
Ben Cliff says, I don't understand how people can think with this manager in charge that we won't go down. Mm-hmm. 3 wins in 30 games. So that's basically 3 wins in 3/4 of a season. Facts speak for themselves. Jones has a worse record than Chris Kamara did, and we got relegated under him.
And interestingly enough, Chris Kamara was at the stadium yesterday. I don't know if he did the updates for Sky, but he was definitely at the stadium. And at one point I thought to myself, please God, no, we haven't put him in the equation of coming back.
I'll tell you one thing about that record of Chris Kamara. Chris Kamara doesn't have as good a place to work with as Nathan Jones has got either.
No.
That's a fact.
Yeah.
Because at the time when Chris Kamara was manager, we were penniless, were we not? And we had some right signings playing for us, didn't we? Jack Holmes says these next three games will break Jones officially, in his opinion. Ian says another manager is not going to help anything. We need stability. Dan Eyre says, I thought he came in from Brighton, this person who's come in. Mm-hmm. First team recruitment man, yeah. Stuart Faulkner says, is Mr. Scholes the problem?
Well, there you go. We could have a whole programme on that. And would you like to answer that, Russell?
No, I wouldn't really. No, I wouldn't like to answer that, actually. Martin Mason says, sorry I'm late. Just got back
not
in
like
from
hospital. You don't want to be controversial, Russell?
Oh, not, no, blimey. I've got to try and be careful now, haven't I? So scratch potato, we'll think. Martin Mason, sorry I'm late, I just got back in from hospital. 12-year-old lad broke his wrist at his match today. Aww. Have I missed much? Well, yes you have actually, Martin.
You can listen on the listen again.
Lee Stakey says, can I just say, guys, as much as I think James has been a disaster, nothing would give me more pleasure than to be wrong about him. Andy Fernio says to Martin, yes, Martin, you've missed Anne showing us her silk panties.
Yes, and, you know, I could have a go about you being sexist there, but unfortunately I did, so you have missed that.
Okay,
completely.
Ben, yeah, that'll definitely make him want to watch the Facebook feed. Ben Cliff says, team for Crawley, 4-4-2. Davis.
Wow.
Davis, Smith, Carter Vickers, Bart Ward, who also had a fairly anonymous game on Monday, I have to say. Ward. Incertibo, Badu, McLean, Hogan, Vokes. Probably why he isn't playing Ward, to be honest. Dan Air says, Crawley, Butland. The same back three with Edwards and McLean wing-backs. Incertibo and Diane Clucas in the middle. Duffy linking in the middle with Gregory. And then replaced by being two up top as they tie with Campbell and one other. I think there'll be a lot more changes in that, don't you, Ange?
I don't think there'll be as many as you expect.
Okay. Paul Higgs goes team for Crawley, also Davies, Ange. Edwards, Collins, Bart, Ward. Ince, Woods, Atibo, McLean, Vokes and Campbell. And then says in relation to Forrest, bringing Butland back. Smith, Cameron Carter-Vickers, Indy, Clucas. Ince and Dye, Atibo, McLean, Powell and Gregory. Now, Gary Pardy makes a really good point here, Ange.
That's normal.
Which maybe you can answer. Is Ryan Woods injured?
No, he's not.
Where is he then?
Well, he's obviously not making the matchday squad.
When he was playing well, though. This is another thing you could have a
hang
go
on,
at.
Russell. Hang on, Russell.
He was playing well.
Hang on. You've seen him have one good game.
Oh, I think people will disagree
no,
with
I'm
that.
Asking,
this season.
No, I'm talking
season.
About you. You yeah. have seen him have one good game.
Me?
Right? Yeah. yeah okay. Well, you don't go the away
yeah,
matches.
I do listen to what people say, though.
Okay. Well, he's not injured.
I do talk to people.
He's not injured.
So where is he?
He's not. Are you deaf?
Yeah.
He's not making the match day squad.
Well, why? That's your next question.
Get the parrot in.
Can we have a question for Monday for Nathan Jones?
You
is
can.
A press conference.
No.
Where is Ryan
there
Woods?
There is no press conference
well,
on
that's,
Monday.
Well, is there a press conference on Thursday?
I wouldn't. No, I haven't been told yet.
Okay. There is a press conference on Monday. Can you say, where's Ryan Woods, Nathan?
Russell, you will not write my script.
Are you going to ask him or not?
I
Where's
don't
Ryan
know.
Woods?
I don't know.
What's up with him?
He may play on Tuesday. Then the question is rather obsolete.
I hope he does. I hope he does, because people are wondering where he is, and
well,
they're a bit concerned.
Right, okay.
Dan Mullock says, we'll beat Crawley and Forest this week, and that's that, onwards and upwards. Okay. Martin Eagle says, I took my girls against Leeds and they begged me not to take them again. Their behaviour has been faultless since.
Brilliant.
Ben Cliff says, my choices would be Houghton Pulis or Javi Gracia. I've got it right this week, haven't I? If any of them would come to us, of course. As for Badu and Bruno, I think those guys have realised they need to play to get a move in January.
I think that's a fantastic
point there. Neil Price said, would Nigel Pearson be an option? Yeah, where is Nigel Pearson now?
No idea. Probably with Ryan Woods.
Is he? I don't know. Because he was like, you know, he got sacked from Leicester. And then I think it was because, didn't he have a bit of a scrummage with one of the players?
He
on the
also
touchline?
Then went to work overseas.
Oh, did he? Mm-hmm. Well done, Ange. He worked at Stoke as a coach before, yes. Experienced manager in the Championship. A no-nonsense type manager who also liked wrestling on the touchline. He took Leicester up.
James Beattie was at the game yesterday, looked very fit and looked like he could still play at Birmingham now, isn't he, on some form of coaching staff. Kamara was reporting on our game for Sky, not too complimentary about what was on offer. Well, I have to agree with him, but sometimes he doesn't even see when people get sent off.
Following matches. Jack Holmes says, if we fail to win the next two home games, Jones would need to go and Pulis would be the only man for me if we want to avoid League One. Gary Pardy says, no! to that.
Crouch Potato says, nothing wrong with O'Neill Donaldson and Georgie Sorbiak.
They were shocking, weren't they? Shocking. Dean Crowe as well was playing then, wasn't he? And he was a real hot prospect at that point, wasn't he? Mm.
Players we have known and lost.
I'm trying to think of some of the others who were playing at that point. They were dreadful. Did we have Neville Southall when he was about 40 stone?
I don't think he was 40 stone, but we did have Neville Southall.
I think he was about 40 stone.
He was probably near
20 stone. He was dreadful, embarrassing.
He certainly made the goal look small.
He certainly did, but he didn't stop many goals going in. He certainly wasn't the Everton Neville Southall anyway. And Martin Eagle says, the manager Ange refers to has allegedly made about £18 million in compensation over the last few years. Mark Hughes. Not necessarily off us, but off other clubs too, like.
I think he probably has made considerably more than that too, but there you go.
No wonder he doesn't want to go back into football.
Well, who says he doesn't?
Well, maybe, well, he hasn't shown any... It doesn't appear like he's shown much too much interest in it. Dan Eyre says, will the ladies ever get the chance to get into the Women's Super League, even if it's level two? Well, they have to win the league first, Dan, anyway. It seems a very close shop and unfair that other teams can get the chance to play against the bigger sides. Yeah, it's a big step up as well, in my opinion. So Stoke would have to invest pretty heavily in it. Scott Price says, it's the second time I've watched Stoke City Ladies this season. Really enjoyed it. An impressive 4-1 win. It certainly was. And like I say, Scott, they didn't play as well as they can. I can tell you that. Gary Pardy says, well, I don't think we should be talking about sacking him, especially now it looks like he's almost got a settled 11. Martin Eagle says, Chris Kamara in the Premier League within 2 years statement. Yeah, he did say that, didn't he? Oh, my word. Chris Kamara have the Lightborn foisted on him. His nickname of Stillborn was pretty apt and made sure we were toothless, especially as we blew our 500k budget on him.
Oh, my God, Kyle Lightborn, he's now managing in one of the Bermudian national
sides.
To
be fair to Chris Kamara, he did get a bit better after Chris Kamara left, didn't he, when we were in the league below.
Yeah. Can I just say now that Spirehead says, why is Russ bothered about Ryan Woods? As a defensive midfielder, he's a very average player who has the odd good game, League One standard. And Dye is an international class
he's
player.
He's not League One
Forget
standard.
Woods and Cousins, they're just not good enough. You're entitled to your opinion.
He's not League
he's
One
entitled
standard.
To
well,
his.
Well, I wonder what Brentford fans were thinking yesterday when he was nowhere to be seen.
Do you know, not one Brentford fan said to me, where's Ryan Woods? Have
I'll,
you seen
I'll
him?
Bet they were, I'll bet they were sitting in
nobody,
them stands.
Nobody bothered.
I'll bet they were. I'll bet they were wondering where
Chamberlain
he was.
Has just said, Ange, could you ask where Ryan Woods is, please? Plays well, gets complimented and doesn't get a sniff since. Are
correct.
You Russell in disguise? But yes.
You are going to Carlos ask him, aren't you? You are going to ask him. And you say I don't write escape.
Excuse
but this
me.
Is, this
can
is
I just say
demand,
something? Right, can I just say something?
Okay, okay.
So he plays him on Tuesday, and then I say on Thursday, where's Ryan Woods? We'll wait and see what happens on Tuesday.
I hope he plays.
Right, but I don't
sake.
Care whether he does, to be perfectly honest.
Because I will be writing your scripts if he does.
Callous
he does.
12, you will never write my scripts. Callous 12, it got me wondering whether Ryan Woods was the team sheet leaker. Could explain his omission from the team after Jones seemed to be utilising him to good effect, especially at the Charlton away game. I heard Nathan Jones say in an interview that matter had been dealt with and it could have a tie-in with Woods being dropped.
I love it.
Can I just say, for the purposes of clarity, my belief is it was not a player. That okay. is only my belief. So I just think that it's probably best if we don't go there. But the best thing is the leak has stopped. And Russell, you haven't seen anybody down at Clayton Woods since the leak stopped, have you?
No.
I'm not suggesting anything, but
well, you're
should I ask?
Me.
Yeah, I'm not suggesting.
Funnily enough, I was down there on Saturday morning, so it was me. I could have found.
Yeah.
Stokey Matt says, "Ask that person who tweeted if one of them little leprechauns can play at left back." Oh my word! Ash Mould says, "One up top at home." Won't become obsolete, Ange. Hasn't been, what's that? One up top won't become obsolete, Ange. Please ask him about that. P.S. I'm not trying to write your scripts. I'm just begging for an answer to a long-standing question. Why don't we attack at home? I understand one up top away. Mish says, Ndai better watch out. He's had two good games. He'll go the way of Woods and Hogan soon. There you are, see? I'm writing your scripts again.
Can we hear from Lee Gregory?
No. Dan Eyre says, we also had Grobbelaar from Liverpool for a short time, I'm sure of it, and it certainly got me excited, as did Neville, although the fact that he filled the goal by lying down shocked me. Actually, Grobbelaar, we were unlucky with Grobbelaar, weren't we, Ange, in the season we got promoted, because he got recalled, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
By Liverpool. But it was a great coup at the time, wasn't it, when
absolutely.
We got Bruce Grobbelaar?
Yeah.
Ted says, if we play one up front at Crawley, we'll draw 0-0 and lose on penalties.
Lose on penalties. We're brilliant in the League Cup on penalties. Keep the faith, Ted.
Jack Holmes says,
are we not coming to have dinner with you?
Jack Holmes says, Russ, are you Woodsy in disguise? No, my hair's brownish, blondish, not ginger. Aunt Bradshaw says, I, Russ and Ange.
He's
is he still away?
Blondish. He's
blondish
brown.
Ginger. He goes blonde in summer.
Okay.
When
you dye it.
Yeah, when I spend all the time in the back garden in the sunshine,
yeah.
you know. Ira Sinan says Ant Bradshaw. Is he still sunning himself?
Well, funnily enough, I've not seen Ant Bradshaw down by the car park, and I'm beginning to wonder, because that was the same time that the leak got stopped.
Ah.
How are you, Ant?
I asked him whether he'd taken his luminous jacket away with him, you know, on holiday.
Is he on holiday?
Him and Maxine. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Where are you?
I think they're in Eastern Europe somewhere.
Have a great time.
Ben Cliff says, this podcast should be renamed Where's Ryan Woods FM? Sarah Bailey says, so the leaker has left the building.
It would appear so.
Nick Bradstreet says, Tony DiRigo at left back.
Aussie.
Yes, I remember him.
Yeah.
Ash Mould says, Lee Gregory, if he was speaking the truth, he would just say, I need support up top, please. Tell Ange to ask Jones why I'm alone.
Well, we'll hear from Lee Gregory in a minute.
Martin Eagle says, didn't Kamara dust Paul Stewart off?
He did.
That season too, yeah.
He was a bit weighty too.
He says, still away, Ant says, hope you're having a great time. Martin Eagle says, Mark McNally, Kofi Niamar, Christ.
Kofi Niamar.
Was he left back, was he, or something? Was he a left-sided winger or something?
I can't remember.
Dan Ayer says, lemon juice for us, it works wonders apparently. Yeah, it does, yeah. Ant Bradshaw says, it was nothing to do with me, and I'm in Croatia. There you go. Poles.
Where are you in Croatia, Ant? It's a beautiful country.
I know, I should know, because I've seen it on Facebook.
Tell me, Ant, where you are in Croatia, because it's lovely.
Right. Officially, we've had it from James Knowles, by the way, 855. He's just tweeted me there because I asked him what the attendance was. I thought it was nearly 1,000. It looked good. Poll result versus Crawley. We've got Crawley people going for Crawley after 90 minutes, Ant, 3% so far. Crawley on penalties, 7%. Stoke after 90 minutes, 77%, and Stoke on pens, 13%. So 90% of people think Stoke are going to win this tie,
one way, shape, or form. Coming.
And Friday's game, positive again. Stoke 54%, draw 23%, Forest 23%. So let's hear from Lee Gregory. Excuse me.
A lot of people have talked about the manager's position being in he's been in a difficult position, but you all today proved that you're fighting for him as well as yourselves.
Yeah, I think we just show that we're working hard. Alright, results not been going our way. We've had some good performances, and we need to look at the positives out of them, not the negatives. And listen, we want the guy to say he's a great manager, and we're just working as hard for him as we are for ourselves.
Psychologically, how difficult has it been for the squad? Because people react differently to losing, but it must have put you all under pressure.
Yeah, of course it does. Every team's the same in this league. We just need to, when we get knocked back, we just need to dust ourselves off. We're going to get a lot of knockbacks this season. That's just the way football goes. It's just how we react to it. And I think we've reacted well today. We're a good point away from home, and we take that into the next game.
And people could look at this point and say this is the start of a run for Stoke. Hopefully it is.
Exactly. You need to start somewhere, so hopefully this is it.
And we've got a 3-game week. I know you just said you'd like to be picked for every match, but psychologically, again, how difficult is that for you mentally if you have to play 3 games in 7 days?
Mentally, I'm all right, so I know I can play. It's physically where I'll be all right, but listen, the gaffer makes the decisions and we have to stick by his decision. And if I play, hopefully I'll score and we get a win. If I don't, and I get selected for the Friday game, same again.
Thank you.
No problem.
Yeah, you've been unlucky not to score your first goal, so not first goal for the
team. Yeah, as a striker, you always want to score goals. I'm just not getting that clear-cut chance that I want, but I'm working hard. It's going to come. Hopefully, the next game or Tuesday or Friday, whatever it is, it comes in, and I'll be grateful for the goal.
As you say, you're putting your arm up to play Tuesday if required.
Yeah, of course. I want to play games. I want to play the game. If you ask me if I want to play, I'll say yeah. And like I said, he's the manager. He makes the decisions. And we'll just have to see.
Thank you.
Cheers,
guys.
Cheers. Okay, Ange.
So there you were. Lee Gregory said that he'll play as many matches as he's picked for, and he hasn't said anything about playing up front on his own. He said we're going to get lots of knockbacks. You heard what he said. Ginger Ninja says that's one of the many weird and strange happenings. He drops established players at home to Leeds, makes Collins captain, and then he disappears. Woods the same, Hogan as well, Cousins too. He's just a very strange manager who makes real bizarre decisions. It really has to end now. Well, the reason Collins hasn't been playing is because he's had a knee injury, which he got, funnily enough, not playing. And as for Cousins, I heard he'd been injured too, but he's now fully fit. So further than that, I cannot say.
There's one thing I can't see, and that's a future for Jordan Cousins at this club playing football. I can't see that, Ange.
Well, he was a strange signing from my perspective. I have not seen anything yet.
I don't
think
yet.
He's better than Jeff Cameron, who will let go, but that's a whole different topic.
I've not seen anything yet. Anyway.
You ain't seen nothing yet?
No, not from him. you ain't seen nothing yet. That sums it up. Martin Eagle says, will Lee Gregory shed any lights on Woods' whereabouts in his interview? Anthony Bradshaw gives you almost map coordinates to where he is. Great deal of detail. He's on a small island north of Split. Can you pronounce that?
Where is it?
Yeah, there, Ange.
Ozada.
No, there.
Oh, yeah, that place.
There's loads more quips coming in about Ryan Woods, some of which I can't read out, but Dan Air says, new kids' books to replace Where's Wally, same red and white stripes, Where's Woodsy? I can't read Ashes out. Ben Cliff says, I'd replace Nathan Jones with Lee Gregory. He speaks more sense. And Stuart Nichols says, Ryan Woods is in Nathan Jones's black hole.
Right.
So I think that was a film, and you know.
Yes. We need your team selections for Tuesday and Friday. And also, we'd quite like to have your score predictions. So I'm not sure if you're going to give us your score predictions right now, now that you've dissolved into a heap of laughter.
My score prediction? It's just that one there.
It's just got me.
It's one of them. It just gets you sometimes, doesn't it, Andrew? When you read these things, I don't know exactly what he means. Crawley. Ash Mole says, why can't you read mine out? Lol, nothing offensive. Okay, Ange, go on.
Woods are up Park Hall if you're after a decent set.
Yeah, of tennis, does he mean?
No, Woods. Park Hall Woods.
Yeah, okay. Oh, obviously it's my dirty mind and Park Hall.
We all know, what you were thinking.
Paul Hicks says,
I do apologise.
Do you believe Vex was really a Jones signing or a signing that was already lined up before Jones came in? Same with Bart. Both players were being trailed before the arrival of Jones. I think the former, really, don't you? I think they were probably already lined up, weren't they?
I have to say that I thought Bart was really, really good when he came on yesterday. I thought he was excellent. I've never really thought that Vokes was prolific wherever he's played, and for me he's not really the most mobile of centre forwards, so you can probably get my drift on that one.
Well, I'm getting chastised by Ash now for thinking anything rude about his comment, because he says, I can't believe I've twisted that, Russ, he says. Martin Eagle says, is Adam Davies in Nathan Jones's black hole too?
Well, I think he'll be at least sub on Tuesday night.
Okay, shall I do Super 6 or not?
Why don't you do Super 6, Russ?
Well, it's quite good, you know, good. Super 6.
We all know you must have done okay.
No, not so bad. It's quite extraordinary, you know, Ange, this week.
Is Ryan Woods in it?
No, it's quite... No. It's always funny when some weeks are just terrible to predict, aren't they, with this Super 6. It doesn't matter how lucky you are, it just doesn't work. Now, how many high scores have we had, Adam? Sometimes in the early 20s, sometimes around the high teens, you know, weekly scores at Super 6.
Probably, yeah.
Well, the high score this week was 9, would you believe?
Did you get that by any chance?
No. Okay. 8 people got 9. Gary Benson, Matthew Stafford, Ben Hares, Sean Clark, Miles Grovecott, Mike Shaw, Paul Beardmore and Janet Hewitt got 9. I got 8, but it just seemed to be everybody was much of a muchness, you know, around some terrible scores.
To coin the phrase, it's early days yet.
It is. Now then, overall, Matthew Stafford's taking the lead with 69 points. Paul Stokes is in second place with 68. And Peter Roberts and Andrew Winfield are in third with 67. So how close can that be, Ange? Mark Green's in 8th on 61. You're in 11th on 59. And I'm in equal 13th on 58.
Right.
So how close can that be? fantastic. I'll tell you what I have got, Ange, which you don't know about, is I've got an interview with Cameron Carter-Vickers here. Shall we hear from Cameron Carter-Vickers?
Why don't we hear from Cameron Carter-Vickers?
Let's see from him.
Immediate thoughts after today's goalless draw here at Griffin Park?
I think it's definitely something to build on. You know, it's our first clean sheet in a while. That's definitely a positive. Obviously, you know, we come here looking to win the game, and we didn't quite manage to do that, but it's definitely something that, definitely a performance we can build in and look to take into the next game.
How important is that clean sheet, not only for you as defenders, but as a team as a whole?
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, you know, we haven't been getting clean sheets, and that's a foundation, you know, if you want to win games. So to do that today against a Brentford team that's good at home, you know, it's definitely a positive.
Given the way goals have been going in so frequently this season, was this week important to try and solidify things?
Yeah, I think we did that. You know, I think today we worked well as a whole team, not just the back five, but the four midfielders in front and even Gregory up front, you know, working hard to close down their defenders when they have the ball. So it's definitely something that we worked on and something that worked well today.
You personally, how are you finding your time so far at the club?
Yeah, no, obviously I'm enjoying it. You know, in all the boys are good. You know, the manager's good. There's a good atmosphere around the training ground. Obviously, the results haven't been going, you know, quite how we'd want them, but you know, we're all kind of working hard to try and change that as quickly as possible.
You're in a three-man sort of defence. Do you feel comfortable in that position? You certainly look it out now on the pitch.
Yeah, no, I played in the back four and I played in the back three before. You know, another Ipswich two seasons ago, we played in majority in the back three and at Sheffield United as well. And then obviously last year, I was mainly in the back four. But I don't, you know, it doesn't really matter to me. I definitely feel comfortable in it.
Start the last two league games. You must be hoping now to get a bit of a run in the side.
Yeah, hopefully. You know, then decisions are down to the manager. All you can do is kind of keep working hard in training, and when it comes to games, you know, try and perform. So.
It's Crawley on Tuesday. How do you view that match?
I think it'll be a difficult game. You know, we've got to come back to London, you know, with the travel and stuff like that. And you know, it doesn't really matter what league they're in. You know, we've got to expect them to be a decent team, and we've got to expect to put in a performance to get the result.
Today's performance must give you a bit of a boost going into that match.
Yeah, definitely things we can take. From this performance that, you know, that we hadn't been doing previously. But I still think we can improve on, you know, and think that we can do better, but yeah.
And that was Cameron Carter-Vickers, who some of you are comparing to a well-known boxer. I just can't imagine why. Anyway, Ben Cliff says, team for Forest, Butland, Smith, Bart, Indy, Ward, Clucas, Atibo, Badu and Dye, McLean, Gregory, Hogan, 1-1 against Crawley, win on penalties, a 1-2 loss against Forest. Anthony Bradshaw says you can't put Super 6 on while you're on holiday. Now, you have this problem, don't you, Anthony?
No, it's not a problem. It's a fact that if you're overseas, you're not supposed to and can't use Super 6.
Ted says, who's had a good weekend, I have to say, Ted has.
He looked very well yesterday.
He's enjoyed it. He's enjoyed his weekend, Ted has, because I saw him this afternoon. And he says, should he go, should he stay? It's doing my head in. I've opened up a bottle of JD, God help us all. Wake me up on Tuesday morning for the game. Dan Air says, on NFL news, my Pats are smashing the Jets 30-0. My team is struggling again, sorry. Oh dear, oh dear.
Daniel Delico thinks it's who?
He thinks it's Chris Eubanks.
Okay.
Well, that used to be Eubank, didn't it? I thought we had a Wayne Eubanks, didn't we?
I don't know.
You remember Wayne Eubanks, don't you? I bet, hey, I've got one up on you there, have I?
Don't Wayne, you remember Wayne? I do, but not as a boxer.
No, Wayne Eubanks was a player for us.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Right back, I think, at some point. Dan Air says he'd certainly be able to knock other players off the ball.
To be serious, Cameron Carter-Vickers played very well yesterday.
Yeah, he's a good prospect, isn't he? Ben Cliff says, when did we sign Chris Eubank? Maybe he knocked Ryan Woods out, and that's why he hasn't been seen.
Look, folks, we really enjoy doing this show. Enough of the where's Ryan Woods, please, because we have serious things to look at, like why are we so strong and nearly holding up the whole of the championship. Right.
Tim Addison says, like everyone, I hope Nathan Jones works out, but it's looking increasingly unlikely. Has Super Johnny Walters expressed any desire to manage? That would excite me more than the usual prospects or usual suspects being discussed.
Just without causing too much angst or whatever, Johnny Walters would love to have a job in football in a capacity other than a pundit. And I personally would love Johnny Walters back at Stoke. Whether the Stoke hierarchy would have him back is something else. Now, before we go on any more, Crouch Potato has just quite rightly said that I said last week I would talk about the Supporters Council. It's not the Fans Council. Oh. It's called the Supporters Council.
Okay.
Please.
Can't we rename it the Fans Council?
No, you can rename it what you like. You can rename it something about Ryan Woods.
Let's call something else on the oatcake, isn't it?
Well, I think I'm called something else on the oatcake, but there you go. I'm not supposed to breathe. But don't let's get too far into that one. I'll be accused of abducting Ryan Woods next. Hiding him in my tin hat. Anyway, going back to Crouch Potato, I did say talk about Supporters Council. I did hope, we hoped as a council, and I'm only speaking as chair, it's not just me, there are 10 other people wearing tin hats. We had a meeting with the club and we did hope the minutes would be on the website by last Friday. We supply the minutes to the club at 8:30 on the Monday morning after a meeting on the Saturday. And for whatever reason, they're very busy doing other things on the website, etc. They haven't quite got online yet. I promise that they'll be on tomorrow. The main point that we brought up and had quite a long discussion about, obviously you'll be able to see everything in the minutes, but some, when you're writing the minutes, some of the stuff doesn't translate as much as you would want to. So we asked about the booking fee, and I got, like we all expected, we got the answer that it was an industry standard now and everybody in the ticketing world charged a booking fee. So we then went on to the collection fee and said we felt it was rather harsh for people to have to pay a collection fee to collect the tickets, and where was the money going? And the money goes to the football club. It doesn't go to providing the away transport for the freebie transport. In fact, it would take a lot more than the collection fees, I think, to do that. But that's another story. So we pointed out that, okay, so if you're going to collect your tickets for an away match, you have no alternative. There is no alternative other than to collect your tickets from an away match. Why? Because you can't print off the away tickets because physically the tickets aren't there to print off, so you have to go and collect them. And we've asked the club if they will revisit the charges on the collection of tickets. I think we will get somewhere with this, but it certainly is going to take a little bit more persuasion. And the club were hoping to have a new ticketing system in place, which again will all be in the minutes, and for whatever reason the provider hasn't got something sorted in time, so we're having to wait for that. But I am assured, as is the rest of the council, that when the new ticketing system is in place, then you will have the ability to, for example, print your ticket off at home and even download it to your phone. Something that has been going on in other parts of the world for a long, long time, but now we're catching up. So we are hopeful, but nothing is set in stone, that they might just revisit the collection charges and get back to us quite quickly, because when the minutes are online, I'm going to give it a couple of days, and then we're going to go back to the club and say, have you revisited this? Because we're not going to leave it for a long time, because we just feel the ticketing collection costs are a lot of money. We asked several other things which are minor in my belief in comparison to the ticketing charge. So if I can leave it at that for tonight, but the minutes will be online tomorrow, and there are a couple of things that you perhaps should look at if you're interested. And I would encourage anybody who wants to try and make life better in terms of the fan experience to apply to be a member of the council. All I would say to you is that make certain you have a tin hat, because it would appear that people, whatever you do, people don't think it's quite good enough. Deeside Stokey says, his record's absolutely abysmal. Any other manager at any other club would have been sacked before now, but the board is still bumbling along keeping Nathan as manager. His tactics have been ditched. Goodness knows what formation we'll be playing in the next game. How many changes will he make to the team? What excuses will we have to listen to before and after the match? He arrived promising fast, free-flowing, attacking football and a team to be proud of. Nothing could be further from the truth. We're an absolute joke of a club on and off the pitch. The most expensively assembled squad ever in the Championship, languishing in the 23rd position with 2 points from 8 games, already needing 2 wins to climb out of the relegation places. He hasn't got a clue, and he needs to go before we totally up the creek without a paddle. Enough is enough, he has to go. The only thing he hadn't addressed there, decides Stokey, is do you know where Ryan Woods is?
Well, there's a lot of suggestions here for Ryan Woods that he may have been in your silk panties, apparently, not your hat, Ange.
But I'm not going down this route.
This is true. that's down air, that is. Ted says, I think we got Eubanks or Ebanks from Wolves. I'm not sure. It's not Eubanks, it's Ebanks.
It's Ebanks. Wasn't it Ebanks Blake?
No, Steve Bree says, was it Ebanks Blake? No, that was the forward, wasn't it? Okay. He played for them. No, it was Wayne Ebanks, it was.
So good he is, we can hardly remember.
Yeah, Michael Purcell gives advice on entering Soccer 6 or Super 6 when you're out of the country. Use a VPN, he says.
Didn't work for me last time.
Okay then, Ben Cliff says, I'm expecting to turn up at the next Kidsgrove Athletic game and Ryan Woods to be with us on loan. As we loan Stoke players every season, we currently have two on loan at the moment and we have last season's under-18s captain signed for us too. So Woods, you get yourself down.
Well, Crouch Potato is asking if there'll be any selfies on the minutes now that we have a new member. I can only assume he means Ryan Woods, and I don't think he does selfies.
Okay. Ted's replying about the Wolves player. It wasn't Eubanks Blake. No, it was Wayne Eubanks. Thank you, Ted. You're right. That's what I think. Stevie Breeze, the cheat, says, I don't recall an Ebanks, but I remember an Ebanks Blake. I know why you don't recall an Ebanks, because he wasn't exactly a great asset to the club, as far as I know, or did particularly much. Stuart Nichols says, apparently Woodsy was told by Nathan Luke do some cone work and was last seen going in and was last seen heading down the A500.
And Ebanks was from West Brom.
That sounds better. Yeah, I think he
and
was,
that,
actually.
Thank you very much, was Desmond 2.
Desmond
number 2.
Desmond, okay. Right.
Not Desmond, Desman.
Right, I've got my predictions here.
Here we go.
For next week.
Yay.
So, well, Brentford 1, Stoke 3 didn't happen, did it?
No, it was Nonage.
So, my predictions are, as usual, like everything else, deluded. So, I'm going for Crawley 0, Stoke 3.
Is that after...
No, that's,
is that penalties?
No, that's okay. Normal time. Crawley 0, Stoke 3.
What's in that glass?
And Stoke 2, Forest 0.
Okay, I'm going for Stoke to win on penalties at Crawley for the simple reason that it's already just over 4 hours to get there, so why not make it stay a bit longer? For the Forest game, I'm going Stoke to win 2-1.
Oh, don't say 2-1, that's too tense. Dan Eyre says, the quiet majority, such as myself, are all completely behind you and all the council and appreciate all the work you do. As difficult as it is, it ensures the club executives cannot hide and play dumb, not being aware of issues affecting fans. And I know how difficult it can be to achieve a resolution to things, especially dealing in the past with certain individuals. Keep going and doing your fantastic work, he says.
Thanks very much, Dan, and I'll pass that on to everybody on the council.
And Martin Eagle says, seconded. We've got loads of scores coming in now, flowing. Martin Eagle says, Crawley 0, Stoke 2, Stoke 2, Forest 1. Gary Pardy says, Crawley 1, Stoke 2, Stoke 2, Forest 2. Ash Mould says, Stoke 0. That's all he says, Stoke 0. Dan Eyre says, Crawley 0, Stoke 2, and Stoke 1, Forest 0. And Joanne says, is the team leak fixed now? Maybe Woods was the leak.
It is fixed, and I'm pretty sure it wasn't Ryan.
Scott Price says, win against Crawley and 2-0 against Forest. What do you think against Crawley, Scott? Ant Bradshaw says, Creepy Crawley 1, Stoke 3, and Stoke 2, Nottingham Forest 1. Ted says, when you do the show from here, does Ted have to wear anything special as I have a lovely outfit for him, says Jules.
Well, just go for the outfit, Jules,
yeah,
whatever
it is. Just make sure he's been off the JD. Stuart Nichols says, Crawley 0, Stoke 2, Woods double. Stoke 1, Forest 1. And Scott's gone for 3-1 against Crawley. Russ, I presume he means Crawley 1, Stoke
3. Has anybody gone for Crawley to win?
No, of course they haven't.
No.
And on the polls here...
Yeah.
It's gone down a bit. 74% for Stoke to win on full time. Stoke to win on penalties, 13%. Crawley to win full time, 7%. Crawley on pens, 6%. And the polls finished for the result against Forest. That's actually changed a little bit as well. Stoke down to 47% to win. Forest 31% and a draw 22%. So thank you very much for your votes
on that. There's a tweet up there from Chris Scott, which you might like to read out.
Hi, Chris. Angela, are the collection fees only if you book online? I bought some Brentford tickets on Monday and didn't have to pay a collection fee. Russ, the women played well today. As you said, not at their best. Hopefully some of the people who went today will continue to go.
Chris, they're not supposed to be, so let's hope some of the things that we asked have already come to fruition. Cool. And if not, if somebody's made a mistake in your favour, well done you. A
couple of things I've got to mention as well about the under-18s played yesterday, who we don't mention as often as we should do, because they're doing well as well starting the season. Stoke played Derby yesterday at Clayton Wood, and they won with a late goal from Patrick Jarrett, who plays up front for that team. And the under-23s, Ange, had two cracking wins last week, both 2-0. The first one was with a lot of first teamers in the team, you know, about half a dozen up at Leek against the Villa, who turned up late, and so they'll probably be fine.
Yeah, it was an accident, wasn't it?
They'll probably be, well, they only set off to half five.
Right, okay.
So, you know, so they're going to get fined, aren't they? 2-0, two Tyrese Campbell goals on Monday, you probably know that anyway. But Friday night, there was a fixture away at Norwich, Premier League Norwich, and we went back to the normal under-23 side that plays regularly, and they won 2-0. I've been told by Paul Ruane to call Kayere Meritang, or whatever his name is, just Gabriel or Gabby. He scored the first one. And Ash Kigbu apparently scored an absolute stonker.
Right.
You know, the lad who came from Manchester City, Ange.
Yeah.
Who's not seen anywhere near the first team yet. Stokey Matt says, Crawley 0, Stoke 2, and Stoke 1, Nottingham Forest 0. Do you want to answer that point from Chris?
I've already answered it. Okay. Just try and keep up, Russ. This is what you get when you're on the supporters council. You get people like Russ who keep rabbiting into your ear but never listen to what you say. Kelly 12 says, Ebanks was on loan to us in 84 and then moved on to the Vale on loan. He must have done well for us. Post-career, according to Google, he joined the police.
I'll tell you why he didn't.
I wonder if he knows where Ryan Woods is.
I've got a feeling, you know, he joined us in the horrendous season.
The Holocaust season.
Well, I wasn't going to use that phrase. Well, you know how much I hate that.
That's why I used it, Russell.
Okay. Ash Mould says, draw or Stoke lose, hence my Stoke nil. I always hope I'm wrong, of course. Ted says he's not wearing high heels again.
Gary Pardy says,
I think Woods will play against Forest. Do you see what I did there? Okay, it was a poor joke. Yeah, it was. One of mine, that was. Dan Eyre says, Ted only wears high heels at weekends. And Ben Cliff says, the biggest question is, who's bigger, Woods or Forest?
Right.
We'll
leave that for next week.
Stuart Nichols says, no, it wasn't anything like that, and you're being rude now. Stuart Nichols says, great show tonight. All the talk of Woods, I'm off down Biddulph Grange, he says. And Ted says, have you just woken up Christopher Drozdowski?
Yeah. Is that, what's his name, Drozdowski's brother?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Is that something I've missed?
I wouldn't know.
He's blowing kisses there at you as well.
Well, thank you. We're going to go now.
Been frantic tonight,
it's been
hasn't it?
Absolutely amazing. We're off down the pub to find Ryan Woods because that's where we think he is.
We're off down Bod.
So thank you for listening. We will be back, all being well, after two stonking victories, and thanks a lot. Before we go, there is one last thing, which is no good if you're not listening now. Our podcast providers are having a few problems in the next 24 hours, so the pod won't be on until a bit later, but you can tell your mates to listen on Mixcloud, etc., and we'll get it on all the other
good luck
things
to the
as
lads.
Normal.
Good luck to the lads at Crawley, because I think it really is an important game there.
Good luck to the lads for the rest of the season.
For this week is really important for the rest of this season, I think. The next, 9 days or so? Let's hope. And anyway, we're a bit of sarcasm in this, I think.
Yeah, if anybody else wants to write my script for Thursday, please send them care of the show to Russell.
Ange will definitely ask about Ryan Woods if he doesn't play on Tuesday, won't you, Ange?
Might do, might not.
And I do write your scripts.
Yeah, but that, not the one I use.
Well, let's have a bit of
thanks,
M.
Everybody.
Let's have a bit of M people.
Because
we are actually
moving on up.
Well done, Ange. How did you know that?
It's the only decent hit they ever had.
Well done. It is moving on up, because we are moving up the table, aren't we? By one place, at least this weekend. Thank you, West Brom.